Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church, 6 a.m. soap. How you feeling? How you guys doing with the fast? I believe this is day 10 of the fast, if I'm not mistaken. So I pray that compared to last week when we met, you know, all the caffeine headaches are gone, and you're starting to really get some focus. And as you're spending time in prayer, the Lord's beginning to move and stir and share things with you and reveal things to you. Come on. We are almost halfway through this. Let's keep going. Let's keep pressing. If you have already fallen off the Daniel fast, or even if you're not doing the Daniel fast, but you're doing some other type of fast and you've already messed up, it's okay. It is totally okay. Just get right back on it. Keep going. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I don't believe that if, let's say, you make it to day 20 and you mess up with the fast, then all of a sudden God's like, well, I can't bless you now. You didn't do my 21 days. You know, that's not how God works. God sees our heart, right? So just stick with it. I'm telling you, there's a blessing at the end of it. So this morning we are in Daniel 9. Daniel 9, I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. Father, thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your word that we have the opportunity and the privilege, Father, to read every single day, Lord. I pray that during this time together, Father, that you will reveal new things to us, Jesus, that it'll be your words that are heard and not mine, Father, that I would fade to the background, Jesus, but you would be at the forefront, speaking to us, guiding us, moving us, Jesus, revealing new things to us. Be with us during this time, Father. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Daniel 9, and I am reading from the New King James Version. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been seen, has been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is to this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to you. For you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war if desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Amen. Whew. So there's so much that we can talk about in this chapter, because we're talking, in this chapter, a lot of it points to the Messiah. It eventually is also going to point to the end times, which we're not going to get into. There's no time for any of that. But there's a lot happening here in Daniel 9, and Daniel 9 is one of the most amazing and significant prophetic passages in the Bible, and it begins with understanding and application of prophecy. Daniel understood something from the reading the words of God's prophets. Prophecy is meant to be understood. Maybe not every detail, because there are definitely prophecies that we read in the Bible that have not completely come to fruition, but they still don't make sense. And we're like, what was this prophet talking about? Right? So maybe not in every detail, but certainly the main points of prophecy are meant to be understood. Daniel understood by the books, the specific words recorded in scripture. Daniel couldn't read 2 Timothy 3:16, because that's going to happen, hundreds and hundreds of years later, but he understood the truth of it, which says that all scripture is given it by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. So here, as we're reading this, Jeremiah is, excuse me, Daniel is reading the words of Jeremiah the prophet and is trying to understand these prophecies. Right? And Daniel knew that effective prayer comes out of knowing and praying both God's word and our present circumstances. His study of prophecy showed him a specific number, right? The 70 years that are described in Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29. And his knowledge of the times led him to know that those passages applied to his time. In Jeremiah 25, Verse 11, it says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 7 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make a perpetual desolation. So I'll bring on that land all my words, which I have announced against it, and that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied according to all the nations." So Daniel, reading the words of the prophet Jeremiah, understood that he was in this time, right? He was in the middle of this 70 years. It was taking place, right? And he fully understood this because of the amount of time he spent in prayer and fasting. Because it's during those times, brothers and sisters, that we're praying and we're fasting and we're truly seeking God's face during these times, that his words get clearer, the things we read, we have a deeper understanding of it. It's important to note that Daniel regarded these as real, literal years. We're talking about 7 years. They were not in no way to be understood as symbolic years. And so Daniel was also probably familiar with Isaiah's prophecies concerning Cyrus in Isaiah 44. And so he must have been encouraged to see a man named Cyrus rise in power over Persia. What this tells me is that Daniel, he understood the word. He spent time in the word. Okay. Now, they didn't have physical Bibles like what we have today, right? But he read the scriptures, he read the prophecies. And so, by doing so and spending time reading the word as things were taking place, he was recognizing that he was in the middle of it. It says that he would accomplish 70 years. Daniel believed that God would accomplish 70 years of captivity, yet he prayed passionately that God would do what he promised to do. Daniel knew that God's promises invite our prayers and our participation. They do not exclude our prayers and participation. Listen, some of you may have gotten a word from the Lord. Someone may have prophesied over your life. You may have been at Freedom Conference a couple weekends ago, and someone spoke a word over you, right? We're not just supposed to sit back and just like, okay, I'm going to wait till it happens. No, that word over your life invites you to pray and participate in that word, right? Because if the Lord says you're going to start a business, you're going to do whatever it is, and then you just sit and wait, it's probably not going to happen. Your participation may be, okay, maybe I got to take some business classes so I could be prepared for when the Lord opens this opportunity. Right? So we have a part to play, but ultimately it's in our prayers and truly seeking the Lord, truly asking Him for guidance and wisdom and discernment as we move forward. And this principle is repeated in many passages. 2 Peter 3:12 indicates that there's a sense that we can hasten the Lord's coming by our holy conduct and our good lives. We can also hasten the Lord's coming through evangelism, because Paul says that God's prophetic focus on Israel will resume when, in Romans 11:25, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This means that we can also hasten the Lord's coming through prayer. Even as Daniel asked for a speedy fulfillment of prophecy regarding the captive Israel's, we can also pray, as in Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." If we want Jesus to come soon, there's something we can do about it. Daniel wanted to prevail, to win in prayer, asking God to take the earliest possible starting point to determine the 70 years. He understood 70 years in biblical and Babylonian captivity. So he was like, God, like, okay, if it's going to be 7 years, I believe it's going to be 70 years, but when did that start? I'm praying that that 7 years started as early as possible, right? And it says in the first year of Darius, this was still 3 or 4 years before 7 years had passed from 605 BC. But this was not too soon for Daniel to begin praying. Daniel had the foresight to look ahead 3 or 4 years before he began praying for deliverance. And so Daniel, there's a lot of numbers and all this stuff. It's sometimes it's hard to, I'm not gonna say sometimes, most of the time it's hard to understand fully what's going on, okay? So just try to stick with me. I'm going to try to do my best I can to break this down. But what's important is that by his tribal heritage, by his family history, Daniel was not uniquely qualified for a ministry of intercession. He didn't belong to a priestly family like Ezekiel, and he wasn't a career prophet like Isaiah or Jeremiah. Yet, like every single one of us listening here to the sound of my voice, he could pray. He could pray. In fact, Daniel's calling and station in life made it less likely that he would be such a man of prayer because he was a high government official. He most likely had a very, very busy schedule. You know, a lot of us, we have jobs where we're busy, 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 busy. Yet he still took time to pray. He still put forth the effort to pray. And so Daniel, you know, verse 3 talks about how he prepared himself to pray. It says, I set my face. This implies determination in his prayers. Daniel had a goal to reach through prayer, and he approached God as a man who would not be denied. And he did this because he was convinced, and rightly convinced, that his prayer was within the will of God, and he knew it was not motivated by any selfish desires. Brothers and sisters, how are you praying? What is the motivation for your prayer? Are you praying just to get, or are you praying to see the will of God come to fruition? Are you praying to see the will of God happen in your life? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if all you're doing is praying to get something, it's probably not going to happen because that's a selfish prayer. It says, to make requests by prayer and supplications. Daniel wasn't passive as God's prophetic plan was unfolding before him. In his approach to God, he made a request, asking God to perform his promise in a way that Daniel thought would bring God the most glory. It says, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, this reflected Daniel's humble heart in approaching God. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes are emblems of humiliation and mourning. Daniel was determined to do whatever it took to get this job done in prayer. Now, listen, we're not asking you, no one's asking you to put on a sackcloth and pour ashes over your body. We're not saying that, right? We're saying come with fasting. Fasting and prayer. When you approach God, fasting and prayer, it unlocks so much, but ultimately it gets our heart in line with the heart of the Father. So then your prayers will be truly in line with Him, and they no longer become selfish prayers. That's how God moves. That's when God works. Because we can pray selfish prayers all day long. Lord, bless me with a new this, bless me with a new that. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Selfish prayers. But when we pray a prayer, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God moves because now we're praying according to the word. And he prays, O Lord, great and awesome God. Verse 4, Daniel began his prayer where we all should, by recognizing the greatness and goodness of God. Sometimes we approach God as if he were this stingy person who must be persuaded to give us anything. But Daniel knew the problem was not with God. God keeps his covenant and his mercy with those who love him. Daniel's prayer was remarkable for both its understanding and its earnestness. Many pray with understanding, but not earnestness. Others are earnest, but have no understanding in prayer. But the two together are a powerful combination. He says in verse 5, "We have sinned and committed iniquity." As Daniel confessed Israel's sin, he prayed as if he were as bad as the rest of Israel. This was a confession of we, not they. In this sense, they prayers never really reach God. When we pray, they, that's not going to reach God. But genuine we prayers see self correctly and see our fellow saints with compassion. We have sinned against you. We have caused iniquity. We have done wrong. Daniel's confession of sin might seem phony until we realize how passionately and completely he is focused on God. Compared to God, even the most righteous among us falls very, very, very short. So Daniel humbled himself and put himself amongst the people in his prayer. Daniel wasn't, he wasn't one of those who was, sinning against God and worshiping idols and sacrificing wrong and all this stuff that caused Israel to be taken captive by Babylon. He wasn't around for hundreds of years through multiple kings who through their evil works took Israel down this path of being put into captivity, but he still related himself amongst them. We have sinned against you. We have done wrong, a wrong to you, Lord. That's a humble prayer. That's a prayer with a contrite spirit. That's a prayer that's longing to just be to reach the Lord. Verse 7, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. Daniel knew that Israel's sin was not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Just as your sin is not God's fault. Your habit, your thing that you do, your thing that you're stuck on is not God's fault. At some point, we all made a choice. And so Daniel recognized, just as with us, Israel's sin was not God's fault. God was utterly and still is utterly righteous and blameless. Any shame of face belonged to Israel, not to God. We can't be angry with God because of our sin. We can't point the finger at God because of our choices. We have free will. God created us that way. So we need to look at ourselves and be truly repentant when we come before Him. It would be easy to complain to God about Israel's problems. Daniel didn't think for a moment that God was too hard on Israel. He knew they deserved what they were getting. He knew that God was completely righteous and any failure was solely on Israel's side. But instead of complaining, Daniel confessed. During times of great revival among God's people, the Holy Spirit always brings a deep conviction and an awareness of sin. And when that is responded to rightly, confession is appropriately made. And this is praying from a low place. And when you pray from a low place, it's very effective, right? If you watch football, a football player, when they try to hit their opponent, they try to hit their opponent low because then they can gain leverage from coming in low. Our prayers are leveraged when we come to God humbly and lowly. And that may mean when you go before the Lord, you are on the ground, you are on the floor, your face to the floor, coming before the Lord. That may mean that if you feel so convicted, but ultimately it's your heart posture. Where is your heart when you come to pray? What is the status of your heart when you go before the Lord? What's the status of your heart as we're praying and fasting? Because if you're participating in this fast right now, and you're doing it grudgingly, and oh, I gotta do this, oh, I gotta fast, I gotta not drink coffee, you know, oh my God, you know, Lord bless me. Your heart is wrong. It's in the wrong posture. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Daniel did not make the slightest excuse for Israel's sin. He knew the fault belonged to Israel and Israel alone. We are prone to make excuses for our sin and often even make excuses in our confessions. Lord, I know I did X, Y, and Z, but you know, the way that person looked at me, you know, I have really had no choice. Lord, God, forgive me. You're making excuses. You're justifying your sin. And then expect a blessing because you, quote unquote, confessed. That's not how it works. Verse 12 says, he has confirmed his words. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, Daniel realized that even in his judgment against Israel, God was still totally faithful to his word. God promised that curses would come upon a disobedient Israel. In passages like Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, curses would come upon a disobedient Israel, and they did. The curse that they were facing right now is that they had been taken captive by the Babylonians. They were removed from their ancestral home. They were removed from the promised land, the land that God had promised to their forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land that Moses had taken them up out of Egypt and brought them into, the land that they had conquered, then they lost it because of their sin, their own iniquities, their disobedience to the Lord. All this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God. As Daniel confessed his sin and the sin of Israel, he remembered the sin of prayerlessness. Even when they faced great trial and calamity, Israel still did not make their prayer before the Lord. When we sense trial or difficulty, it should drive us immediately to prayer. When we are not so driven, it should be a wake-up call to the coldness of our heart. Brothers and sisters, prayer should be the first thing we go to. Prayer is our first tool that we have. First weapon that we have to go to. That's why prayer should be a habit that we exercise day in and day out. That way, when trials and tribulations do come, it's our first go-to. I need to spend time with the Lord. When you're confused, when you're questioning things, I got to go before the Lord and ask. Prayer should be something we do all the time. And as Daniel prayed, he remembered that the Lord delivered Israel from Egypt. He remembers the Old Testament standard of God's power, which was the deliverance from Egypt. And we should remember the New Testament standard of God's power. And that's the resurrection of Jesus. God is all powerful. God is all powerful. And that's a standard that he resurrected his son Jesus on the third day. So if he could do that, he can do anything in our lives. But it still matters how we come before him. Verse 16, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. After his confession of Israel's sin and God's great righteousness, Daniel simply asked God to mercifully turn his attention to Jerusalem and the temple. He also asked that God would do this without delay. He says, do not delay for your own sake. Daniel prayed as a patriot, but a patriot more of the kingdom of God than of the kingdom of Israel. And we should pray with similar patriotism for the kingdom of God. Now, I know that word, you know, there's some people, they feel a certain way, the government, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking about being sold out for the kingdom of God, right? Being a patriot for the kingdom of God, because ultimately, as Christ followers, that is the kingdom, that is the land, that is the nation that we fall under. This all this around here, here is temporary. We are simply ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so we should pray as citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of God. Daniel asked for all this, it says, according to your righteousness. It was as if Daniel prayed, Lord, I'm not asking you to do anything against your righteousness. I'm praying for this to advance your righteous glory. He says, cause your face to shine in verse 17. This was the heart of Daniel's plea. He knew that God's people needed much, but their need could be summed up in this. They need God's face to shine upon them. How many here need God's face to shine upon you? How many of you need the Lord to bless you? How many of you are going through something right now and you see no other way out than for God to perform a miracle? Well, my brothers and sisters, you can pray all day, every day, on your knees, on your face. You can even do the whole sackcloth and ash and all that stuff, right? And by all outward appearances, appear to be doing the right thing. But if your heart is wrong, if you're not coming humbly before the Lord, then it's for nothing. Your prayers are for nothing. But brothers and sisters, when we come to the Lord in humble prayer, humble sacrifice, humble praying, He hears you. Because you're not coming for selfish reasons. Too often we enter this Daniel fast year in and year out, and people are like, oh, I'm fasting for this, that, and the other thing. And it's selfish. It's selfish. No, you should be, we should all, I'm going to include myself, we should all be praying for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. Lord, what is it you want for me to do? Not, Lord, can you do this? Can you bless me with this? Can you blah, 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 blah. No, Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your will for my circumstance? And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when we change the direction of our heart, when we come to him humbly as Daniel did, as we come to come to him and with we prayers, not they prayers, not even I prayers, but we as your people need you to come. We need you to deliver us. Father, we love you. Lord, do your will in our lives. When we ask God's will in our lives, when we ask God to do what he wants to do, ooh, let me tell you, that's when things change. That's when circumstances change. And God will make a way even better than what we thought in our finite minds, even better than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that as we are in this corporate time of fasting and prayer, Jesus, that our hearts would truly be in line with you, Lord God, that we would come to you with these humble prayers, Father, that we would not be praying selfish prayers, prayers for ourself, for our self-gratification. No, we would be praying prayers, Lord, that point to you, Lord God, that truly seek your face, that we can truly say, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here. Speak to them, Lord God. Show them areas, Lord, that they need to maybe adjust, refocus during this time, Father. But ultimately, Lord, give them the assurance that you are there with them, Father. Speak to them during this time. Guide them, Lord. Reveal new things, new truths, Lord, about you, Father. Thank you for this time. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, love y'all. And I'll see you again next week. God bless.